Hear that? Up there in that tree? Oh, yeah.
Tweet, tweet.
It's me and all my homies love native manu, and it's about to start.
Yeah, it is. This is me and all my homies love native manu. This week we will be talking about the ruru, the mōpōk. And here to talk with me, as always, about our precious native manu is my icon legend, the father I wish I had, conservation expert Pete Tonda. How are you, babes?
Morena, morena. Conservation enthusiast.
Yeah, kia ora, kia ora. Yeah,
kia ora.
This week, Pete, we're talking about the ruru. Do you want to give us a classification of this bird?
Absolutely. So the ruru, it's our only native owl. We used to have an endemic owl called the
fecal.
Yeah.
Yeah, the fecal.
The laughing owl.
Yeah.
Fecal. Yeah. And that was an endemic, but it became extinct somewhere between 1910 and 1940.
Yeah.
The ruru is native, but it's not endemic, so it's also found in Australia and New Guinea.
Oh, okay,
And it's not threatened, but it's likely to be in a slow decline, although it's adapted fairly well to human occupation.
Wow, so very adaptable manu then. And in our research this week, or mostly in your research, Pete, found some whakatauki about te ruru. So just wanted to share those with you whānau now. So, ka tangi te ruru, ka tanga hoki aho. When the ruru cries, so do I. And what does this speak to, Pete?
It speaks about the deep connection between, you know, tangata whenua, people and the natural world.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. And how, tangata whenua is so deeply connected to te taiao. We also found kei te ruru, ko ākau, oh, te wahi moki moki. I'm like an owl hooting in a lonely place. And this is, quite an evocative saying, tapping into the melancholic call, because it's got a very melancholic call, the ruru, eh?
Absolutely. Yeah.
And we'll get into that call, that sound of that call soon. And then another whakatauki, e te anō a kumata, me te mata, a ruru e te wai ana. My eyes are like mōpōk eyes turning from side to side. And what does that refer to, Pete?
It refers to when you're at war and you're looking pretty hard for your enemy in the dark, so your head's swivelling around like a ruru.
And because a ruru, I think they have a 270-degree rotation of their head.
Yes, yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Whereas humans have like 180 or something.
180 if on a good day for me.
What's your head rotation like at the moment?
a bit early in the morning,
I think.
It's a bit early.
But ruru have a special significance for Māori, closely associated with tāne of the forest, tāne mahuta, of course. Also Hine Ruru is a figure in Māori mythology representing the ancestral spirit of a family group and often taking the form of the ruru. A ruru is quite commonly seen as kaitiaki and is associated with protecting, warning, and advising and guiding. It's a very special bird. And so the normal call of the bird, Pete, is seen as good news like this. I can't do it. I'm trying to imitate the sound, but now I just realised that I messed it up so bad.
Something like that.
But if it's making if the ruru is making a screeching sound, that's not good news, eh?
Yeah, bad news, or maybe even death is near.
Yeah.
And they their form's been woven into carvings on the marae and that sort of stuff. So,
yeah.
But I'd like to do a bit more research on that.
Yeah.
And talk to a few sort of iwi or kaumātua around that.
Yeah, because there's a lot of ancestral knowledge around these manu, and yeah, we need to be talking to our kaumātua, our old people, about these kind of things because they hold the knowledge. But yeah, Pete, for you, how do you describe this awesome manu?
Yeah, it's one of my spirit birds. I've got a few of them. You may as well have a bunch of them, eh?
Yeah, line up your spirit birds.
Yeah, so it's a manu of deep mystery.
Yeah,
it sort of moves in and out of the nether world. It's got that melancholy with its plaintive sort of cry in the darkness. And I often, you know, go down Port Waikato, they're there all the time. There's a pair of them that sort of echo each other, which is lovely. And I just
so
love
special.
Going out there and
and
listening to them. They're a silent assassin, and they've got mesmerising large yellow-green eyes.
Yeah, yeah.
I had one at home in Sandringham about a year ago in our Pururi tree. I went outside to look at the moon, and it was staring at me, and I stared back at it, and then it figured probably I was a bit big to eat. and it swooped away, and it was completely silent.
Wow.
And that's one of their features we'll talk about.
Yeah, definitely. So what are they? You've mentioned their big yellow eyes.
Yeah.
What do they look like?
They stand about 29 centimetres high, the brown and sort of white speckled.
Yeah.
And they've got the large, wonderful eyes. Cool birds, hard to see.
Yeah,
very hard
definitely.
To see.
Yeah,
they camouflage themselves really well. And they're night birds, so you don't see them in the day.
Yeah, and I think, where do we find them around Aotearoa? Because I grew up in the South Island and I never, ever remember seeing them down there because we lived on the Canterbury Plains.
Yeah, that's an area where there's not many.
Yeah, so where would you find the rudu, Pete?
They are spread around Aotearoa, mostly forests, but you'll find them in farmland, you know, in patches of bush.
Yeah.
You find them in urban areas, anywhere where you've got trees or bush.
Yeah, exactly.
You'll tend to find them.
And also, I was reading something this week about Te Reo, which is the language of the wetlands, and they were talking about how the rūrū might not live in the wetlands, but it is connected to the wetlands through the things that they eat.
Yeah.
And so like, when we're talking about where birds are found, say this bird is found, the rūrū is found in, like, forest, it's still obviously connected to all the other environments as well.
Yeah.
And we can't, I think, what as humans we tend to do is separate all out these different environments, but, like, the wetland is connected to the forest, and the forest is connected to alpine areas.
Yeah.
And we just need to, as humans, we need to be more aware of that, and that's something I'm trying to work on. But yeah, they're found in the forest, and they're, what are they eating, Pete? What are they munching down
on? Yeah, they're raptors, like birds of prey. They eat a range of things, insects, beetles, spiders. They eat small birds like the tohoi. And the wetter.
Yep.
And mice and rats.
Well, that's good. Predator-free work,
and
hey?
They love the pururi moth. And that's like caviar to them. And they pick off the wings and then they just kind of slurp them down.
Really?
Yeah, so if you got lights on at night and you've got pururi moth active and there's rūrū around, in the morning you'll just see a whole collection of abandoned wings.
Wow.
Yeah, crazy.
So that's probably why your the rūrū in your background was hanging in your pururi tree eating the pururi moth.
Could have been.
They're hanging around. Oh, you said they've got some special powers?
They do.
What the hell? This bird
well,
is so cool.
Well, apart from being a spirit creature that goes into the netherworld and back, they've evolved the silent flight.
Wow.
So they fly without making a noise, and that just...
How does that happen?
It's just the shape of their feathers and the way they fly, their wing
that.
Structure. So that's an adaptation to give them an advantage, and so the victims are pretty ignorant of their imminent demise.
Yes, so because they're a bird of prey, they can silently fly up on their prey and,
They've got very good hearing, so they can, if they're sitting there in the rākau, they can hear insects moving, they can, or mice. So they're very good at identifying where their prey are.
Wow, and I also read that as well as being good hearers, they're actually very sensitive to light and sound too.
So if you try to approach a ruru, so if you hear one and you're trying to locate where it is, as soon as you get close, it just stops hooting.
Wow, because it's aware
it's just a protective mechanism.
Yeah, very smart bird, very smart bird. And so, we've said they've been hanging out in the pūrere trees, but where else are they hanging out, Pete? Where would you...
What kind
of trees are they breeding in, you know?
They nest in the hollows of... mature old rākau, the totara, the kaikatea, the miro, the matai. So it's important to sort of keep our old rākau in the forest for ruru and other taonga species like our native bats. They rely on those cavities in the trees.
Mm-hmm.
But they also nest in the sort of epiphytes that...
What the hell is an epiphyte?
Epiphyte, when you go into the forest and you look up these big old trees, you'll see these big clumps of what look like little flax leaves.
Yeah.
And the massive clumps, they're called epiphytes.
Oh, okay.
And so they can nest inside that mass of vegetation.
Yeah.
Or they get amongst rocks and roots as
okay.
well.
Okay, yeah, cool. And they lay about three eggs when they're breeding?
Two or three eggs. Often only one survives, and they're not into wastage, so they don't waste the protein of the expired chick.
So if one of the chicks dies, they're going to eat it?
They're going to eat it, yeah.
Oh, God.
That's efficient, isn't it?
Yep.
It's like recycling, reuse.
Reduce.
You think of all those trips the owls have done to get the food, they're not wasting it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And
they're in the nest for about 37, 42 days before they up and fly
before
away.
They move out of home.
Yeah.
That's so quick. And I suppose Well, there's so many pressures on food for these birds, eh? So any extra protein they
can get.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. And as usual, we're going to talk about some threats to these birds. And as you know, whānau, we've got our usual suspects, stoats, possums, rats, all our introduced species. Shout out to them. And then what else is
What you often get at the top of the food chain is you get accumulated poisons or toxins.
Yeah.
So they are vulnerable to accumulating poisons from food.
Okay.
Or if a rat or a mice is, been poisoned and it's sort of walking around in its last throws, because they catch live prey.
Yeah.
But they can catch a live rat or mouse that's been poisoned and they'll eat it.
Then
there's secondary poisoning and they can die as a result of that as well.
Because I read that and I was like, I'm not really sure what that is, so thank you for explaining that. And then also, of course, loss of habitat for these birds, eh, Pete?
Yeah.
It's a massive threat.
Yeah, and I think that's why they suspect they're in gradual decline as we remove more and more native bush.
Stop
and exotic
the bush, guys.
Exotic bush as well.
Yeah.
So it sort of removes the habitat, the food sources, the nesting sites.
Yeah. It's important to look after our native bush and protect those species of trees because they're, special to Aotearoa and habitat and home for our native manu. Yeah, so thanks, Pete, for talking about the dodo today. Such a special bird, and keep an eye out or an ear out for that special manu, guys. And you've got a song to play for us, Pete. What's your waiata you're going to play today?
Yeah, my song this week, Fat Freddy's Drop.
Yeah.
And, you know, The Shiver Man, it's a cool song. It's about night spirits, about the bogeyman and
the
spirit world, and it just feels like a good song for this little manu that goes in and out of those worlds.
Yeah, cool. Very connected to our physical world, the dodo is, and te ao wairua, the spiritual world. So, yeah, kia ora, Pete.
Kia ora.
See you next week. And this is The Shiver Man by Fat Freddy's Drop.
Ah, isn't that beautiful?
That was Me and All My Homies Love Native Manu, only on 95 BFM.
Thank you.
You're listening to BFM with Liv. This is Brain Shiver Man by Fat Freddy's Drop. But it's such a long song. Shout out to Pete for picking such a long song. We're going to have to go into some ads fine now. Be back soon.